Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington, working on this program via remote. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan this Thursday, March 24th, 2022. The Troika countries are calling on the South Sudan government to stop attacking SPLM-IO bases around the country.
Incidents such as these and the resulting cycles of revenge attacks which spread the violence on the country.
And 9 people died during a cattle raid in Jonglei State.
Armed Murley youth attacked Mirol County yesterday, Tutpayam, in a place called Tet Swam around 5 p.m. So they wounded 6 people and killed 9.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Ongoing conflict across Eastern Europe, Africa, and the Middle East continue to hinder the fight against tuberculosis as the world marks the International TB Day today. The World Health Organization says there is an urgent need for investment of resources, support, care, and information into the fight against tuberculosis. South Sudan depends on support from the Global Fund to offer the much-needed help to people living with tuberculosis around the country. Mourinho Jambo reports for VOA.
More than 66 million lives have been saved from TB the last 2 decades since the year 2000, a number that COVID-19 pandemic has reversed. For the first time in over a decade, tuberculosis deaths increased in the year 2020. According to the World Health Organization, global spending on TB diagnostics, treatments, and prevention in 2020 were less than half of the global target of $13 billion annually by 2022. Director of Global Tuberculosis Program at the World Health Organization, Teresa Kasaeva, says, globally, little progress has been made in fight against the disease since COVID-19 struck.
There has been insufficient progress made in closing case detection gaps, with still far fewer people diagnosed and treated or provided with TB preventive treatment compared with 2019 before the COVID-19 pandemic. There remains a shortfall of 13% in notifications of people with TB compared with before the onset of the pandemic.
25% of TB cases were reported in Africa, with the largest number of new cases occurring in Southeast Asia at 43%. According to the WHO, in 2020, 63% of children and young adolescents below 15 years of age with TB did not access diagnostic and treatment services. Kerry Viney is a TB advisor at the WHO's Global TB Organization. She says children under the age of 5 who are eligible for treatment did not receive it.
WHO estimates that 1.1 million children and young adolescents become ill with TB every year, almost half of them age below 5 years of age. Unfortunately, less than half of these children and adolescents are diagnosed or reported, which means that there is a large detection gap. In 2020, approximately 226,000 children died due to TB, and again, most of these children did not access TB care.
According to Kenya's Ministry of Health, about 140,000 people develop tuberculosis in a year, with more than 40,000 of them being HIV positive. The head of monitoring and evaluation at the National Tuberculosis Program in Kenya, Iban Rono, says Kenya is among the most affected countries with the disease.
We are a high-burden country, one of those countries that I think there are around 20 to 25 countries that are high-burden for tuberculosis and HIV. So it means we contribute about 80% of the global burden of tuberculosis, which is really a serious issue. Last year, we enrolled 77,000 people on treatment. So if you look at that against the incidence, it's around 55%. So we still have around 45% to cover.
He says newly invented tools will improve the diagnosis and treatment in the country.
In terms of diagnosis, we are exploring together with partners, WHO and research organizations. I think there are new tools that may be able to help us to diagnose children with tuberculosis including using alternative specimens like stool and many others. So we should be able to improve. We're still doing active case finding for the same as well. We're doing contact tracing in the families where there is a TB adult, so we want to screen the children.
The WHO is calling for urgent investment to develop and expand access to innovative services and tools to prevent, detect and treat TB. But in countries like Kenya, the donated drugs have been stolen by individuals who resold them to private pharmacies and black market. The UN-based Global Fund, which finances the fight against HIV and AIDS, tuberculosis and malaria, last week accused the Kenya Medical Supplies Authority of stealing medical equipment, among them drugs. The findings come after an audit on the authority, which found out that more than 900,000 mosquito nets, over 1 million condoms and tuberculosis drugs worth $100,000 went missing in the warehouse in Nairobi, allegations that the authority has refuted. Teresa Kasaeva says more money should be invested to help countries bridge the gap in TB research.
We would like to call for an increase in domestic and international investments to close funding gaps for TB implementation and research. However, for countries with weaker economies, especially following the enormous socio-economic impacts of COVID-19, international support will be required in the short or medium term.
Tuberculosis remains one of the world's most infectious killer disease. Each day, over 4,000 people lose lives to the illness and close to 30,000 people per year fall ill with the disease despite it being preventable and curable. With this year's World TB Day theme being Invest to End TB Saves Life, the WHO calls on individuals, communities, societies, donors and governments to do their part to end tuberculosis. Reporting for VOA, I am Maureen Ojiambo in Sacramento, California.
The United States, United Kingdom, and Norway, known as the Troika, are calling on the South Sudan People's Defense Force to stop attacking SPLM-IO forces. The group is also calling on the South Sudan government to exercise leadership and ensure South Sudan security forces maintain discipline and comply with the peace agreement. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wood reports from Juba.
In a statement issued Wednesday, the Troika condemned the South Sudan People's Defense Force and SSPDF-aligned forces for attacking SPLA-IO military bases in parts of Upper Nile, saying the clashes risk causing greater violence in the country. The statement noted the attacks follow a series of reported attacks across Unity and Upper Nile states over the last 2 months. Tom Carter, spokesperson of the British Embassy in South Sudan, read the statement to South Sudan in Focus on behalf of Troika.
Incidents such as these and the resulting cycle of revenge attacks risk greater violence on the country. They also illustrate the destabilizing and pernicious effects of incentivized defections, as these are often followed by armed clashes.
The Troika says it is also concerned about reported attacks against the training centers and cantonment sites, saying the violence betrays a lack of political will to unify and graduate the necessary unified forces and thereby threatens to undermine the peace deal. On Tuesday, the SPLM-IO, a principal signatory to the peace deal, declared it had pulled out from security mechanisms of the peace deal, as well as the revitalized Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission. Colonel Lampol Gabriel, the SPLA-IO military spokesperson, says the decision was taken due to continuous military attacks by SSPDF forces on the group's military bases in parts of Upper Nile State and inconsistencies in attending mechanism meetings and implementing the meeting's resolutions. Yesterday, SSPDF spokesperson Major General Lulurai Kwong denied that SSPDF launched attacks on SPLA-IO military bases. He claimed the clashes erupted after SPLA-IO forces killed an SSPDF officer on March 20th.
It's colleagues responded to the gunshots, and they discovered that it was their colleague that was shot dead. And then his killers started fleeing towards the direction of Joko. And while they were fleeing, they were being engaged in running battles. So fighting started at Ruel Street to Joko. That was the beginning of the clashes that eventually erupted between our forces and the SPLA forces in the area. And SPLIU was totally responsible for starting it.
Carter says the Troika regrets the decision by SPLMIO to withdraw its participation from the security mechanisms and RGMEC. He says the Troika urges all parties to recommit to the peace deal and re-engage in good faith in the agreement's mechanisms.
Call upon the government of South Sudan to exercise leadership and oversight of the nation's security forces to maintain discipline and compliance with the peace agreement.
RGMEC released a statement on Wednesday saying it notes with concern the suspension of participation of the SPLMIO in the meetings of the security mechanisms of the peace deal. It said the mechanisms, which are composed of members of different parties to the agreement, are an integral component of implementing the transitional security arrangements in the deal. RGMEC says it is also concerned about recent reports of clashes taking place between SPLIO forces and defectors to the SSPDF in Upper Nile and Unity States, including at training centers. RGMEC says each training center is a symbol of the unity which is being forged through creating a unified force, and any threat to this is unacceptable. Carter says Troika is calling on peace monitors to urgently investigate the recent clashes and ensure that the masterminds who orchestrated the attacks are brought to justice.
By a peace agreement monitoring and verification mechanism, ceasefire and conditional security arrangement monitoring and verification mechanism, CCSAM, and the reconstituted joint monitoring and evaluation commission, RJMEC, to provide urgently an assessment of whether these attacks constitute a breach of our and identify those that their primary responsibility.
With less than a year to go before the end of the transitional period, Carter says wholehearted commitment is critical to getting key provisions past the finish line. Unfortunately, he says recent events signal the opposite. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudu in Juba.
For 1 week, Rwanda is hosting a delegation of South Sudan People's Defense Force. They are in Rwanda for what they call a learning visit to witness the role of women in conflict resolution and development. South Sudan is a member of the East African Community, and Rwanda has troops in the UN's peacekeeping mission in Juba. Eugene Uimana has more from Kigali.
It's a learning experience. Learning
for South Sudan, a country that has known a civil war for more than 7 years, there's no better way of rebuilding itself than putting women at the helm. Brigadier General David Lokonga Moses is a member of the delegation now in Kigali.
The purpose of our visit to Rwanda is very, very important. That is an exchanging learning program to come and share experiences. You noted that the mainstream women involvement in the army, in the participation of, you know, creating a kind of development in the country. We discovered here that it has been very encouraged that this is an ideal, that Rwanda is one of the countries we can learn from each other.
The 11-member delegation from South Sudan includes 5 women. They'll be meeting with officials from Rwanda's Ministry of Gender and Family Promotion and with the Minister of Defense. Among the topics, how women are recruited and deployed by the military, their role in post-conflict reconciliation, and a look at the Rwandan Military Academy and Peace Academy. They also learn about the Rwanda's national gender policy used to include women in national decision-making. Already, the delegation has visited the Kigali Genocide Memorial to learn about the role of women in stopping the 1994 mass murders of Tutsi and moderate Hutu, and the participation of women in rebuilding the country. They also toured the campaign against genocide museum at the Parliament Building. The museum includes photos and testimonies that show the role of women soldiers of the Rwanda Patriotic Front who helped stop the killings and rebuild the country. Lieutenant Colonel Stella Uwineza is an officer of Rwanda Defense Force. She has served in the United Nations peacekeeping mission in South Sudan and also with the United Nations mission in Darfur, Sudan between 2011 and 2012. She welcomed her South Sudanese colleagues and stressed the importance of women sharing their experiences.
A lot have been done. From recruitment, we have a large number of young girls joining RDF, whether at cadet courses or at basic training. They have something to learn from us, but also we can also learn from them. We all have experiences to share and to learn from each other and to continue in this area of women empowerment.
Jeannette Bayisenge is Rwanda's Minister of Gender and Family Promotion. She says that discussions on mainstreaming gender insecurity and conflict resolution help women tackle common problems they are still facing.
We know that the challenges that Rwandan families, women and girls in Rwanda are facing are almost similar with the issues that girls in other countries, whether in Africa or outside Africa, hearing from what they are doing at their level, can inform what we could do to deal with the remaining challenges we might be facing.
Today, more than 5,000 Rwandan troops, police and experts are deployed in UN peacekeeping missions, including MINUSCA in the Central African Republic and the United Nations Mission in South Sudan, or UNMISS. In June 2018, 85 women and 75 men were deployed by the Rwanda National Police for a peacekeeping mission under UNMISS. Officials say the Rwandan military continues to recruit more women each year, an achievement that we highlight for their colleagues in this week's delegation from South Sudan. Eugene Wimana for VOA News, Kigali, Rwanda.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, members of the Catholic Church in Rumbek prepare to receive a new bishop. Find out more after the break.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. The Catholic faithful in Lex and Warap states are welcoming tomorrow's planned consecration of Father Christian Kalesari as Bishop of Rumbek Diocese. The bishop-elect was supposed to be consecrated on May 23rd last year, but Reverend Kalesari was shot by a known gunman on April 26, prompting the Vatican to stop plans for his consecration. William Sande Mabor has more for VOA from Rumbek.
Becky Aluhali Joel is a parishioner at Holy Family Parish in Rumbek. Joel says the ordination of the bishop-elect Kalesari means a lot to the people of Rumbek.
This congregation is very important to us as a Christian of Diocese of Rumbek, to the whole diocese and outside of South Sudan, actually. We are very happy to receive our bishop-elect Christians to be among us, and we are very happy he's recovered.
Catholic Ajaj Machol Ajaj says he too is glad Bishop-elect Kalesari is returning to Rumbek to take up his spiritual duties.
I'm very excited indeed. So the way people of Rumbek welcome back, the bishop showed that there is a love and there is a peace in the country. So I'm very excited, and my message to all who have contributed into these matters, thank you so much. We have really appreciate you for your prayers. You bless our diocese.
Bishop-elect Kalesari thanked the Catholic faithful for the love they showed him when he was shot. He vows to work for peace and unity in the Rumbek Diocese and says he will work with everyone to make that a reality.
The welcoming that you did to me is giving a lot of pride to all people of Lake State Warap that is under the diocese of Rumbek, but gives honor to all the country. And this will be seen all over the world. And all over the world will see that South Sudanese are people that desire and work for peace. I come to be brother of each one of us, no one excluded.
His great Monsignor Bert Van Meegen, the Apostolic Nuncio, the Ambassador of the Vatican in Kenya and South Sudan, arrived Rumbek Thursday. He says he is here to attend and witness the long-awaited ordination, Bishop-elect Kalasare, adding that Pope Francis has a particular interest in Kalasare's installation in the Rumbek Diocese.
We have been waiting a long time for this day, and also the Holy Father has a special interest in this day of tomorrow, because as you maybe know, Monsieur Christian has been with the Holy Father, and the Holy Father has encouraged him in a special way to now come to Rumbek to be consecrated here bishop and to take possession of the diocese of Rumbek, in order that the Church of Rumbek may continue to grow.
The bishop of the Metropolitan Diocese of Juba, Stephen Amiyu Martin, says all bishops in South Sudan and neighboring Sudan welcome Bishop-elect Monsignor Christian Kalasare and look forward to his consecration.
All the bishops from Sudan and South Sudan are present in solidarity with the bishop-elect Christian Kalasare. And so we are happy that you welcome him back, and we hope that the celebration will be very good, and all our prayers and our hope will be with his new mission, that he will work with you people here in Rumbek Diocese.
Lake State Governor Lieutenant General Rinpreng Mabor on Wednesday ordered the deployment of additional security in Rumbek ahead of the bishop-elect's ordination. For VOA News, I am William Sande Mabor in Rumbek, Lake State.
Authorities in Jonglei State say at least 9 people died and scores of others were injured during a cattle raid by unidentified gunmen in Nyirol and Urur counties last night. Dengai Deng has more for VOA from Bor.
Jonglei State Information Minister John Samuel says at least 9 people, including 3 assailants, were killed in last night's attack in Nyirol and Urur counties.
Am Murlei youth attacked Nyirol County yesterday, 2 p.m. in a place called Ted Swam, around 5 p.m. So they wounded 6 people and killed 9. However, from the report we get down from the commissioner, is that in the fight, 3 Murlei youth were also killed, armed youth were also killed in the course of the fighting. So they went away with 100 heads of cattle, and the youth of the area are still pursuing them. On the same day, another incident reported in Urur County, in a place called Kar, which is located 5 kilometers away from the county headquarters, UI. The youth of the area managed to pursue the attackers and managed to recover their cattle as well. So one person was injured in the course of the fighting as well.
Samuel condemned the attacks and is urging authorities in Greater Pibor Administrative Area to track down the suspects and bring them to justice.
The people of Greater Jonglei need to have peace and harmony, and we need to embrace that peace by talking to our youth and to avoid attacking their fellow youth as well. On behalf of the government, we convey our condolences to the family who lost their loved one in this senseless attack.
Jai Adingora Alual, the Minister of Information in the Greater Pibor Administrative Area, says he could not verify whether the attacks were carried out by armed men from his area.
I'm not aware personally, and as the government,
Up to now, we have not actually received any official information coming from our counterpart in Jungle State saying that we are attacking those areas. Actually, as the government team, we don't have the information. I cannot say anything. And as always, we cannot confirm it whether it is true that those people are from greater people administrative here or not.
Alwal says authorities in Pibor continue to engage young men in the area to live peacefully among themselves and with their neighbors. Enmon Yakani, a civil society activist with Community Empowerment for Progress organization, says the continuous deadly attacks in Greater Jonglei could constitute a crime against humanity. He says authorities must do more to stop the violence.
The government have to ensure that there's a presence of law enforcement agents on the ground to deter these deadly armed violence from happening. And personally, I'm advocating that our Minister of Interior should establish a unit of police service that is meant to deter this incident from happening. Because, my brother, the disturbance is that always this incident does not happen out of isolation. There's a prior information that Murle are mobilizing or another group is mobilizing or Dinka is mobilizing or where is mobilizing to attack. So information about mobilization of youth, armed youth, to carry out attack normally come in advance either 1 week or 2 weeks.
Malwal Ayom Dor, head of the Department of Security and Strategic Studies at the University of Juba, says cattle-related intercommunal violence in South Sudan persists because the government has been putting the cart before the horse. Dor says South Sudan should follow the example of Kenya, Uganda, and other neighboring countries which used to experience similar violence but were able to put a stop to it.
The first thing is the government enact a law, a regulation, criminalizing the cattle raiding. That's the first thing need to be done. So while it is a criminal issue, it will be addressed. It will have to be addressed as a criminal issue. The second thing is remove guns, collect guns from the hand of the civilian, encourage children from those communities who are not going to school to go to school. So it means the school has to be made available in the villages, you know.
Dor also says officials should build more roads so that more citizens are engaged in businesses and communities should be brought together to dialogue about peace. More than 70 people were reported killed 2 weeks ago in Jonglei State, Unity State, and the Abyei Special Administrative Area, the latest in a string of deadly attacks and counterattacks that have occurred across South Sudan. Last week, two communities in Jonglei State signed a peace agreement to end deadly cattle raids in the area. This was after dozens of people were killed and many others injured when the Gawer and Lawnwer communities from Ayut, Nyirol, Uror, and Akoba counties clashed in February. The recent violence prompted the U.S. embassies in Juba and Khartoum to issue a joint statement calling on all sides to return to dialogue and urge the government to de-escalate the violence. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaideng in Bor.
That's all we prepared for you this Thursday. We now end this show with the song Binia by Mawa.
Reaching out to the brokenhearted, I'm reaching out to the lost souls, I'm reaching out to the absent-minded, I'm reaching out to the sick and the low. I'm reaching out to the brokenhearted, I'm reaching out to the lost souls, I'm reaching out to the absent-minded, I'm reaching out to the sick and the low. Ana bimiru idatai, bijuru ita, kanita waga. Ana biguna guna tai, bijibu fara, kangel fawaja. Ana maderi tageni barao, ae, ana bija. Ana maderi tageni feki, walele, ana bija. Ana maderi tageni kore.
We have been listening to Mawa with the song Binia. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for allowing us into your home, phone, and vehicle. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Stumbles and through the falls, I will always be there for you, by your side, day and night, and I ain't never gonna let you go. When the night's getting dark and cold, Kelita Arugali Anabija, when you're all by yourself at home, Kelita Arugali.